I don't know you personally, but I'm gonna guess you have a pretty nice TV. I mean, almost everybody does nowadays. Heck, my parents have a nice TV. If they have a nice TV, I'm guaranteeing you do too. Good size, crystal clear image, probably mounted. But you know what my parents don't have? A high quality soundbar. A lot of people overlook the importance of audio when it comes to a banging home entertainment system. Let's fix that. Mom, Dad, if you're listening, looks like you're getting brilliant sound for Christmas thanks to the Sonos Arc. Arc is the all-new premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. You thought those CSI reruns sounded good now? You just wait until you experience it with the Sonos Arc. That immersive sound of CSI filling the room from wall to wall and floor to ceiling. Here's some cool features. Turn on speech enhancement mode in the app while watching TV and movies to clarify the sound of the human voice. This is perfect for when a character whispers or the action intensifies. My wife watches non-stop British dramas. Speech enhancement is a must. I don't know what these Brits are saying half the time without it. Makes it crystal clear. I can pick up on what they're putting down. Also, I got a new puppy, so I like to turn on night sound to tone down those loud effects for when she's trying to sleep. You never look a gift horse in the mouth, and you never wake a sleeping puppy, because you're watching Independence Day again. Big sound in that one. Gotta keep it down. Put on the night sound. And if the Arc isn't enough for you, you can easily add more speakers to create your perfect sound system. We're talking sub for bolder bass, pair of rear speakers for even more intense surround sound, and hey, let's get crazy. Place speakers in other rooms to enjoy listening all around your home. You ever heard of a toilet speaker? Yeah, apparently they have them at castles in Northern Ireland. Get yourself a toilet speaker. Guys, go to Sonos.com to learn more and get your Sonos Arc today.
Cold tea, it's up to you, it's up to me. Cold drinks come in 4 cups. Gotta know the size before you fill it up. Biggie, medium, small, kids meal. Keep it straight, it's a good deal. Use the scoop to fill with ice. Never use the cup, take my advice.
Good morning, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, September 25th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and joining us live, as always, is Tass Mellis.
Congrats to the Blue Jays for making the air quotes playoffs. They made it. 16 teams. What sport does that? Come on now.
We also have the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! The international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to everyone joining us live right now on YouTube. We see you in the chats. Get your questions and your comments in there. You never know when you're going to be sprinkled into this podcast. Keep your cues and comments coming for our next Beach Steppin' Pod. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in at nodunksinc. And guys, before we get into it, how were the Instagram lives yesterday? We had Lili with Zach Harper. We had Tass with Jaren Jackson Jr. Tass, let's start with you. How did yours go?
Jaren Jackson Jr. just turned 21 years old, and he's smarter than me. And so he is very well wise beyond his years. He just turned 21 like 9-10 days ago now. He said the partying was done in only a couple days. He's good now. He got it all out of his system.
Good.
Now he's ready to go, informing people that it's really easy to vote and register. Yeah, he's smart. He said he got all the Grizzlies registered to vote. What
nice.
A good dude. Good,
nice.
Good dude.
Okay, you can go check that out, too. That's obviously archived. Tass's little interview, talk with Jaren Jackson Jr. on our Instagram account. And Lee, how was Zach Harper? So I like this, by the way. Tass, envious of a 21-year-old and Jaren Jackson Jr. Lee, we know, envious of Tyler Hero, a 20-year-old. But are you also envious of Zach Harper and that the flowing locks, Lee?
Well, he was wearing a baseball cap, actually, for us. So we didn't get to see it in full flow. But no, Zach was great. A lot of fun talking with him. And just interesting talk to a guy from his perspective who's traveled around, lived in different cities, lived in Democratic cities and lived in Republican cities and just how that's affected his life. And then later on, we popped open a pack of basketball cards too. I decided to pop a pack
there
with Zach Harper. And you know how weird 2020 is? Well, it got even weirder yesterday when we were talking about Calbert Cheney with Zach Harper on Instagram Live yesterday. So things get a bit crazy. But
crazy, okay, man. Hold on. Isn't that exactly what happens when you open pop and packs?
Well, Calbert Cheney, though. Like, it's just a great pop and packs 90s name. We've never had him before, you know, okay. Because he didn't get drafted until 93, and I don't usually get cards until a bit before that. So
legendary stuff, man. Legendary.
Oh, my God. It's going on the Wikipedia page for 2020. This guy opened a pack of cards with Calbert Cheney.
September 24th, Calbert Cheney shows up in Poppin' Packs for the very first time.
Hey, I don't know if any of you guys have ever played Pick Up with Zach at some point. I never have. I'm surprised that our paths have never crossed. But I asked him what his game was like and who he was like. Who do you think he said?
Well, I actually caught this. He says he liked to consider himself a Steph Curry, but he's much, much more similar to, I believe it was a Jason Williams, white chocolate, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He said he likes to put a bit of sauce on his passes out there and fling him around a bit, and he can hit the three. So, yeah, I haven't seen him, so I'm not sure how accurate it was, but I take his word for it.
Well, I've played with Zach, and I can't remember him ever throwing a pass, so he was lying to you, Lee. He was straight up lying to you. Yes, he'll chuck the threes, though. You're right about that.
Well, so what he said was, you know, when he makes a bad pass, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe you saw a few bad passes. He's always saying, just keep going. You've got to always point to the guy, like, come on, man, keep going, and that pass is for you. So.
Right. My bad.
I thought I've heard him compare himself to Rasheed Wallace once upon a time. Like, Trey's saying, because he just runs from three-point line to three-point line. Like, that's the distance that he travels. He's not getting into the paint all that much. I could be wrong.
Maybe that's where he is now. Maybe he was a younger days. He was Jason Williams.
Maybe. When the hair was shorter, he was white chocolate. All right, well, let's get into our game recap here on today's No Dunks podcast, looking at the West Finals. Anthony Davis and the Lakers, they beat the Nuggets by 6. It was close to take the 3-1 lead in the West Finals. Tassie, Denver's got them right where they want them, don't they? They're down 3-1, but would you... take away from this, obviously, big victory here from the Lakers.
Yeah, close game going down to the wire. It really came down to a few plays here or there. And when LeBron James is switched out onto Jamal Murray for the first time in the series, you got to start there. That's a juicy storyline. It's as juicy as Calbert Cheney coming out of a pack of basketball cards. So really, it's the storylines and everybody asking Jamal Murray about it in the end. Really, it was two plays. It was two possessions. He guarded him for three. Jamal Murray kind of threw one away for one of them before LeBron even was really close to him. And then the first one, it's 3:45 left. I'll say this first. LeBron can't guard Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is too quick for him. But Jamal Murray got to the rim, and this is the exact reason why you put LeBron on Jamal Murray, because one possession in such a bang-bang situation, like in all basketball plays at the rim, quite often, the best player in the world, or the guy who's had that title for a long time, is going to get the call. LeBron fouled him, but there was no whistle. Jamal Murray was angry, as he should have been, and I think he should have been just as angry as his teammates, because LeBron sprinted down the other end of the court, feeling good after getting that stop, and just waltzed in for a bucket. So way too easy. And then a second challenge by LeBron at the rim. It looks really strange seeing LeBron challenge at the rim, because he doesn't take it like a big guy. He's not taking it in the chest. So I think that kind of throws referees off too. Not to give him an excuse, that was a foul call the first one. But the second one, I think Jamal Murray just messed up and he didn't really go into LeBron's body. So there's two possessions there in the last few minutes. But you know, those obviously factor in. Every play factors in. But two offensive rebounds by the Lakers in the last minute, 5. And Nikola Jokic not looking like himself. Michael Malone was subbing him in and out, offense for defense, playing him on offense and not on defense because he had foul calls against him. And he got a couple at the end there and fouled out of the game. And obviously that was killer. And I think that hurt Jokic's flow and it hurt the defensive rebounding. And so I lumped those all together. Yeah, LeBron's going to get the storylines, but really... offensive rebounds, those stops as well, and waltz into the rim, you're not going to win. So that came down to a few plays there, and Jamal didn't score at the end, even though he had a great game with 32. Jokic wasn't himself, came down to those last few plays, and Jamal didn't come through, and the Lakers, you know, it's a bit of that you've mentioned the big brother, little brother sort of idea, Skeets, with these two teams, and it kind of came down to that. It was, it was, hey, we've been here before. Are you going to show up? Are you going to make the plays? Because I'll see you at the rim, see what the refs do, and they came out with a W.
Yeah, I mean, and we predicted that as well. We said LeBron at some point is going to be put on Jamal Murray to try and slow him down. If Jamal Murray doesn't play in this game, though, or has a bad game, it's a 20-point blowout. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, the 32, they needed every single one of them. He kept them in the game in the first quarter. That would have been a 20-point lead for the Lakers. And here was Jamal Murray hitting shot after shot after shot, matching Anthony Davis. But you're right. A lot of talk about the officiating in this one, Lili, and especially what happened after the game prior, where then Vogel and the Lakers are saying, hey, look, LeBron James, he's only taken like 10 free throws in these first couple of games. What's going on here? And then he gets to the line a lot here in last night's game, and the Nuggets not as much. But was there something to this? Do you think you know, they were persuaded from what the Lakers sent in, these tapes, these VHS tapes that they sent? They're like, oh, they may be right. Or were you not or were you not that, like, the officiating is not really the storyline from this game, like Tass is saying, hey, it's probably that you gave up a ton of offensive rebounds, some key ones late when you had a chance, and you just got killed 25-6 in second chance points. Where do you fall on that?
Well, we'll find out in the next game, because Mike Malone apparently is now going to send in his own tapes to the NBA. Right. So he wants to get a few foul calls. But for me, it was second chance points there and offensive rebounds that absolutely crushed the Nuggets, because they got themselves to a position, like we've seen a lot in this series. They seem to be a better second half team, you know, where they just start to play better and the Lakers perhaps tire a little bit. They had their chances, but there was so many times where they just couldn't quite secure that rebound, and the Lakers got it and punished them for it. And that's what an experienced team does. You know, that's what they did. Because if you look again, Anthony Davis didn't actually have another good rebounding game. He finished with 5 in the end, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, like, you sort of expect if you're going to out-rebound a team, it's probably going to come from your star big man, but it wasn't. It was just all these other guys, these veterans who have been around for a while, making sure that they secure the loose ball and they give their team those second opportunity to score. And that is really what an experienced team does better than an inexperienced team. And look, the Nuggets were in a little bit of trouble because Jokic was in foul trouble, so he wasn't out on the court.
So was Millsap.
Millsap had it. Oh my God, I felt sorry for Millsap out there last night.
He's just got to get angry.
He's bad
when he's not angry.
He had an awful game. And then you've got Michael Porter, who, you know, defensively, I think Mike Malone was kind of alluding to him basically being terrible on defense. So Nuggets had Jamal Murray, who was brilliant, I thought, this entire game. But other than that, all these other guys tended to struggle. And that's what the Nuggets are going to have to learn from this game, is you grab that, but you must secure the rebound. Pat Riley says rebounds equals rings. And that's really what it was last night. Well, and credit to Rondo again, you know, being an adjutant, getting there, contesting those shots, making it difficult for the Nuggets. So the Nuggets have got one chance left here to correct those things, and they just have to hit the glass in game 5.
And Vogel made a move here when we're talking about all this rebounding. Starting Dwight Howard, Trey, you know, he gets a start over JaVale McGee and made an impact right away. He had like 4 offensive rebounds and putbacks in the first, 8 or 9 minutes of the game.
Yeah, he was crushing the glass. He was looking like the biggest, baddest dude out there, and he didn't look like he was taking it over the edge to where he's trying to reenact scenes from Batman during the movie. He was just hitting the glass, and it really set the tone for the Nuggets, or I'm sorry, for the Lakers, because Dwight didn't even really get a taste as much in the second half, but the team was still hitting the glass, and when it came down to it, the biggest offensive rebounds of the night for the Lakers were from Davis, Rondo, and KCP. Mm-hmm. That can't happen when you're the Nuggets. You can't get out-rebounded by the small guys, right? Like, you gotta, if you're getting out-rebounded by Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis, that's understandable. But like Lee's saying, you gotta finish those possessions. You can't be giving up clutch offensive rebounds, even if the Lakers aren't scoring, just because it extends the clock. I just, I don't know. I just thought that the Nuggets didn't play well enough to win. Murray did. Obviously, LeBron switching on to him had an impact at the end of the game, since it makes it tougher for Murray to finish over LeBron, and also LeBron is going to get the benefit of the doubt on those foul calls. Jokic wasn't good enough, probably because he was taken out of his flow offensively, and he wasn't out there to help on the defensive glass, but I would play Michael Porter Jr. more. I know Mike Malone might not think that his defense is great, but Paul Millsap's offense is so bad that the defense really doesn't matter, and you got to have rebounds. Porter hits the glass. Like, there's a way to do it. There's a way to get Michael Porter Jr. on the floor to give you something impactful out there, because I don't know, there's just, you know, 4 players basically on the Nuggets yesterday were playing subpar games, and when you're taking those 4 guys out of the rotation, what are you supposed to do? You got to have sterling performances from Jokic and Murray to have a chance, and then if the rotation guys aren't doing anything, you're in trouble. So yeah, Porter just gives them a little bit more of a high ceiling, and I think he can contribute on the glass. You know, he's been one of the better rebounders for the Nuggets the entirety of this series. He's going to botch it defensively, but I'd rather have somebody else out there who can score a basket.
That's the dilemma there, I think, right now for Mike Malone. It's like Porter can, you know, he hit three threes last night. Like, he's that important contributor for them offensively, and he can rebound. Trey's 100% right there. But sometimes in defense, he's just on his own island. He's just not even paying attention. Yeah. And that's the problem.
He's like the kid when you were playing youth soccer that was picking flowers.
Yeah,
the goalkeeper 100%. That was picking flowers in their net, and you're like, you're supposed to be playing defense.
He basically needs to be engaged on the possession with his man having the ball. And even then, he still is kind of like, I don't know what I'm really doing here. That's such a tough thing, because Millsap, you know, defensively is 100 times better, but there on the offensive end, I mean, he just doesn't give you what Porter does. The options that Porter does, because that three, we talked about it. You can't block it. Once he gets that three up, and he's good, he gets a little pump fake. He had a couple of those going last night. So they need that punch offensively, but what is he going to do defensively, and how can he improve in a series at a young age? It's very, very hard to see.
It's really tough. Gary Harris and Paul Millsap, as Kendra Andrews pointed out today on The Athletic, combined to average 10 points per game on less than 30% shooting so far. Mason Plumlee and Torrey Craig are averaging a whopping 8 points. Plumlee was horrible last night. Oh. He was so bad last night, to the point where I think Paul Millsap, he's got to be basically the backup five for the Nuggets. I don't think that Plumlee can see the court in this next game, and you do want to get Millsap's defense out there, and the possibility that he'll have another 14-point quarter or something like that, but the bottom of the barrel is what it feels like for the Nuggets right now, trying to figure out how they can actually beat this Lakers team. Murray and Jokic have been great. Who else is going to be out there? Monte Morris had some nice moments last night, but trustworthy guys, it's tough for Michael.
Yeah, but really it comes down to that fourth quarter, and Jokic, he wasn't even there. I mean, he didn't score a
point. It's the second game in a row, right? He hasn't scored in the fourth quarter.
Right. It's difficult to talk about him because it was like he was invisible for a lot of the game. And he definitely the foul trouble hurt him and being yanked in and out of the lineup. But when he's out there, he's got to get in the way of drives. And that LeBron one I mentioned there with 3:30 left, that was killer just to get to the rim. And yeah, he was off the floor, for that the rebound for Rondo that got over Paul Millsap, and he needed. This was a really close game going into the fourth quarter. The Nuggets bench was disappointing in those first few minutes. Not sure what Mason Plumlee is doing, trying to draw a foul on LeBron James with his back to the basket. What is that? That's not a Mason Plumlee play. The bench was disappointing. The Lakers got into the game there. It could have gotten stretched by the Nuggets bench, and then the superstar and Nikola Jokic, he wasn't there. That's what they desperately needed. They even got Monte Morris 7 points from him in the fourth quarter, making some nice moves out there. They just needed the Joker to come through, and it didn't happen. I think Dwight Howard definitely needs to be credited.
Yep.
Frank Vogel said he had a nice chat with him before the game. He said, don't be an a-hole out there. Don't be that overzealous. just trying to be rambunctious, you know, trying to get in Jokic's head. Just go out there and be a huge, monstrous obstacle for him. And it really, really worked. Just think of the Dwight that we've known over the last few years, calling for the ball, wanting the ball, getting into post-game interviews and saying, I got to get the ball. The dude had 5 baskets. He didn't touch the ball in the post. There are 5 baskets on offensive tip-ins, mm-hmm. just putbacks, all of them. And then just getting into Jokic's face without saying, yeah, I'm the Batman, you're the Joker. Just being big. And he only played 22 minutes, but it really threw the Joker off. I think, Paul Millsap needs to fight. I think Jokic would have liked it if Dwight was a little bit of a pest, and that might have made the red-faced Joker a little bit more red-faced. Got him into the freaking thing because he wasn't himself in this one.
Yeah,
Dwight Howard didn't even play in the fourth quarter, and he still had an impact because he drew so many fouls on Jokic early in the game that Jokic was only able to play 6 minutes in the fourth quarter, and that was when we saw those huge offensive rebounds. That's when we saw the Nuggets having to go offense-defense for their best player. That's a tough spot to be in. I mean, Jokic can play defense, no doubt about it, but when you have 5 fouls and you're trying to make a little bit of a comeback in the last couple of minutes, you don't want to take chances picking up that 6th foul on a box out or some random screen sort of play, right? You gotta try and get the buckets, but Jokic wasn't able to get the buckets because he wasn't in the flow from the entirety of the game. It was just a, it's like compounding interest, right? Things just kept getting worse and worse because Jokic couldn't get into that flow. Yeah. And with him not getting into the flow, the Nuggets were struggling to score. But man, that's the benefit of having an Anthony Davis out there, is that he can just take Jokic out of the game, man. The guy's incredible, and he's an X factor for the Lakers at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the guy started 7-for-7 from the floor. Yeah, he was embarrassing whoever's on him. Was it Millsap and Jokic at times? 34 points, 10-of-15 shooting for AD, 13-of-14 at the line. He got there a ton too, along with LeBron. Yeah, you're right. He is oddly an X factor, which is so strange. I'll admit, watching this game though, especially like you said, at the end of the third quarter there, Lee, I think Porter hit 2 threes. And even in the first half, they were still close. I was like, Lakers are just letting the Nuggets stick around here. Like, it feels like the Lakers are really outplaying them because of all these offensive rebounds, like we're talking about, the nice Dwight injection, all the fouls for the star players on the Nuggets. And it was still really, really close. And you're like, I don't know. This is, you know, also, it also felt like a bit of a shootout at times. And you're like, I don't know if the Lakers, you want to get into like this sort of, this idea, this shootout with the Nuggets. That's probably not your game plan. You know, you want to get some defensive stops and put your stamp on the game that way. I kept thinking the Nuggets were going to win this thing. I did. But a part of that was, hey, they flipped roles, right? Reversals. Role reversal here between Jokic and Murray. A lot of the times we've seen in these playoff games or in the bubble, you know, at times Jokic can sort of keep them in the game. He'll have sort of dominant like quarters, first half somewhat early, and then Murray's maybe a bit more of the closer as a perimeter guy. But it was flipped around. Murray, keeping him in the game, like I said. The only reason they were in this thing was because of him. And I was like, okay, if Jokic gets it going here in the fourth, they got a chance. But I think what you said there, Trey, is important. The flow. Jokic is such a flow player. He's not like, obviously, like a perimeter guy where it's like, hey, man, you know, take this square peg and jam it in that circle hole. Like, he won't do that. That's not how he's wired. And really, because of his body type and all that too, you can't really do that with a guy like him. It's got to come within the offense and within the flow of everything. But when he's like, yeah, in and out because of foul trouble and stuff like that, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, unfortunately for the Nuggets, of course, falling down 3-1, or maybe it's fortunate, you know, now they're down 3-1. Again, perfect, but wild, wild stuff there. I love how Pelton put it too, with the Lakers' second chances. It was like them chewing up clock, yeah, like a football team, right? Grinding it out on first downs. The Nuggets didn't have a defensive rebound. Defensive rebound in the final like 4.5 minutes of this game.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, I can't even think of the last time that happened. I'm sure it happens every once in a while. That is weird.
Yeah, and I don't think they had a field goal in the last 3 minutes, yeah. I believe it was. They said on the broadcast.
All free throws.
Yeah, and I mean, Murray, again, like, he's, you know, when you look at that game with the incredible highlights that we saw from him, and then getting to the free throw line, and they showed that stat, what he's shooting too in the fourth quarters of the playoffs. I mean, he is just delivering for this team every single night. So, you know, the series certainly is favoring the Lakers from here. Of course it is. But I don't think the Nuggets are out of it either. I think they know
there is zero chance the Nuggets are coming back to win this series.
I don't know if they'll come back to win the series.
I'll throw it down here.
I think they realize though that this game, they had so many bad things in this game. Sloppy defense, you know, no one really helping out Jamal Murray. They've got to be better, and they can at least, you know, they can at least keep this game close, game five close, and potentially drag it out a little bit longer. But I think as well, LeBron's looking at this going right now. You know, we got to kill this team. We got to bury them in game five and not give them any life whatsoever, because LeBron wants to get rest. He doesn't want to be dragging this series out and playing a long series. He wants to get ready for the finals. So it's probably over, but I think the Nuggets, man, they're going to look at the tape of this one, and Michael Malone's just going to be like, look at these second chances we gave. Look at how many opportunities this team got that if we secure that rebound or we don't make a terrible pass at the other end, maybe it's 2-2, but it's not.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, it's unfortunate that the Nuggets don't win this game, because we would have been starting with, hey, what was the craziest Jamal Murray shot that he hit last night? I mean, I think we're all going to likely go with the borderline iconic reverse layup up and under LeBron or whatever. But there was also that crazy left-handed leaner on Rondo. That was wild, the spin and that push. And then he had that shot little put floater over AD, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know which one you pick. Again, probably the MJ-like one, which was goddamn amazing. Lee, you had that up so quick, my man.
I did. I was in the virtual crowd last night too, actually, for NBA Australia. No, the reason I bring that up is because I timed it. We were 40 seconds ahead of the TV broadcast. Ooh, so I saw this and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. I've got to get this baby up before people have even seen it.
That must be weird. That must be weird for Australians to be ahead of the curve instead of being behind it.
So hold on. You were in the virtual crowd?
Yes.
You were on the virtual board?
Yeah. We were at center court, they said, but I think we're actually at the ends because I think they have the Lakers and the Nuggets fans on the TV side. So I think we're there. Anyway, people have put a few photos up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I was lounging at one part, so I don't know how cool
what
I was.
What do you mean?
So,
you were lying down?
Well, I was on the couch and I was kind of like leaning like that. So, but I will say it's a fun experience. It's something a little bit different, but a little bit annoying because people have got the chat going, like the verbal chat. So you've got Lakers fans there just going crazy over every single play. So
sounds like hell.
Yeah, well, I did have to mute it towards the end of the game. That's fine, I'm sure. 2 minutes in the first quarter. But no. Look, it was a fun experience. But yeah, that Murray layup. I mean, when you see the slow-mo, he's going up and he puts
he's
it back
try
in the other
and hammer
hand.
It.
I know. I know. And then he just, on the other side of the hoop, spins it in. Just incredible stuff. But we see this kind of stuff from him. Maybe not that extreme, but we see these hang time moves from him all the time. He's incredibly athletic.
He's got a great package, great finishing package. And that's why you watch basketball, man, to have those moments that take your breath away, right? Where you're like, what? And yeah, the slow-mo was great, but I thought the fast-mo is the way to watch it to see how fast he whips that ball from his right hand to his left hand, then right back to his right hand to finish on the right side of the hoop. It's majestic watching it in slow motion, but awe-inspiring watching it in fast motion to see him move his arms that fast. I feel like it's impossible to move your arms that fast. Just he's had a number of great finishes in the playoffs, in the bubble. It's going to be an awesome highlight package when all's said and done.
Trey, I thought he airballed it in real time.
It was crazy,
I didn't realize it went in. Like, from that, from the game camera angle, is like, what he's doing. You're like, huh, what happened there? And then they're celebrating, like, that went in? And then you see, the replays test, and then you're like,
oh, my God. Spins crazy.
Yeah, and kudos to you, Lee, for getting it up. But I got to give it to Worldwide Wob for putting up the split screen with not the MJ play that everybody compares every play to when a guy switches hands. The one against the Lakers, but the actual proper one against the New Jersey Nets. He goes by Drazen Petrovic and Derek Coleman's underneath, and then the token white guy, I don't know who it is, gets scored on, but it's the exact same thing. And so it's
not
hard
Chris
not
Dudley,
to...
is it?
No, I don't think so.
Bad week for Chris Dudley.
Yeah.
He's not as portly a Dudley. He's a little bit skinnier, so I don't think it's a Dudley.
But that is the right comparison. It's
more of
right
a Bradley.
It's that one. It's not the one in the finals versus the Lakers where MJ's, for no real reason, just switches hands. It looks cool, and you see it in all the commercials with MJ, but it's that other one is amazing.
It is. And I totally forgot about these New Jersey Nets sheen jerseys.
Yeah. What a look.
Oh, my goodness. They're crazy. They're like wild pajamas. They're nuts. Worldwide Wob, great stuff there. That's a friggin' highlight. And you mentioned the packages. He's got three rounds of highlights here that Jamal Murray's put together, and the NBA's tweeting it out. I can't believe how many he's got. Like the beauty spins. That's Jay Skeet's favorite move when he's playing, hanging in the air for the layup. It's three rounds, and he's got it all, man. It
sounds like
phenomenal.
You're talking about the perfect package 3.0.
I mean, Trey had the WhatsApp going off last night with this one. The start, bench, and cut. Devin Booker, right? Jamal Murray and Tyler Hero.
Ooh.
Ooh, Lili, have a go at that one. Start, bench, or cut those three. Booker, Murray, Hero.
Well, definitely starting Jamal Murray.
Okay.
Benching, I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going with Tyler here.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I love it. But come on, I'm
thinking. Come on, Skeets. Let me pull up Devin Booker's playoff stats real quick here.
What? Devin Booker would be averaging what Tyler Hero did in one game if his squad could have got in there.
I guess he'll have to finish over 500 sometime in his career.
One of these days. I mean, they should have been in, man. They went 8-0 in the bubble, man. How could you stay perfect and not make the playoffs? That was a good one there, Trey. Everyone was like, oh, I don't know, man, I don't know. But then we all agreed everyone would want to have sex with Booker.
Well, I don't know. I was saying he's very, very handsome, but then LeBron right after the game says, Jamal Murray's one of the hottest guys we got left in the bubble. Come on.
They're all fairly handsome guys, I would say. That's a difficult
one. Yeah, you're totally right. Though I will say, to me, Tyler Hero looks like his name should be Brad. Just like a guy whose name would be Brad.
Brad Tyler?
Brad Tyler, sure.
Back to that, to your the MJ highlight that you're talking about there, Tass, that World Wide Wob had up. The best description of that play I saw is someone says, MJ does a Euro step in midair somehow.
Yeah.
Between like those three guys. And it's like pretty spot on. It's like somehow contorts his body while he's in the air to somehow shift around people. Like, how do you do that? And wow. Then the amazing finish. I love that. I love that play. But Murray's is right there. I mean, if they win this game or if it's in the finals and you went on to win a title, like, that's iconic. I mean, that's just iconic. It will probably get lost a little bit, you know, to how would you describe it? Just to the time.
Sands of history.
Yes, that's what I'm going for. Just because of when it happened and then a loss and whatever, but still, that's one of the greatest layups I've ever seen in the playoffs. That's not hyperbole. I mean, it really is, right?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of actual layups, the Dr. J one against the Lakers is also crazy. Yep. The hang time on that, you know, coming from a different angle. But that's another one I would compare it to in terms of that, just that wow factor anyway.
Yeah.
And Diced Eric here in the comments went back and looked at it, and apparently it is Chris Dudley getting scored on.
What a call, Lily.
Chris Dudley was not... He was a little less portly. He was a little less Jared Dudley and more like Sean Bradley once upon a time. He was skinny. Then.
Crushing Chris Dudley. Oh, no
Chris Dudley catching strays.
So I said, this is a wrap. I don't believe the Nuggets can do this again. They're going to be facing elimination for the seventh time in the bubble. Well, when I said that, I saw some of your faces going, whoa, easy there, Skeets. Again, this is 3-1. This is what they do. Does anyone truly believe the Nuggets can do this once again for the third time, come back and somehow get themselves to the NBA Finals by winning three straight versus Lakers?
I don't think they can win three straight.
No.
But I do think they can still win a game here, and I think that's kind of important. This game was really close down to the wire. They did have five guys in double digits. It wasn't a terrible game for them. Jeremy Grant had 17. Porter and Morris off the bench with double digits. These guys aren't falling asleep out there. And I you mentioned losing a play to history. Mm-hmm. I do want this to sort of go down in history as a series where the team that loses wins at least a couple games. Because if it's a gentlemanly 4-1 sweep, it's looked at as not a close series whatsoever.
Right.
And a sixer is always respectable if you lose two games. And I've mentioned this in comparison to the Blazers last year. And I know we had a lot of debates about the Blazers going out in the postseason, and on the starters, we discussed if the Blazers were an actual contender going into next year. And you know, it's different because they all got injured. I would tend to think that they could have been. It's all what you define as a contender. But this team, clearly, the Nuggets they're a contender next year, no matter what. They're that good, and I'd like to see them sort of in a different class even than the Blazers were last year, because they should be respected. They've got two superstars playing at a different level. I think it's different than what the Blazers did beating the Nuggets in that second round last year and then getting swept by the Warriors. The Nuggets have been very, very good.
I'm going to take the coach's route here and say I'm taking it one game at a time, and I think the Nuggets win game five. That's as far as I'm prepared to go right now. I hope they win. I'm pulling for them. I'm cheering for them. They deserve to at least play at least two more games here, because they've been incredible to watch. And I go back still to that first series. Basically, we were talking about the eulogy of them after they were down 3-1 to the Jazz. And it was like, you know, Tass saying they're a great team. You know, next year they're going to be great. And I agree with what we've seen recently. But after that first round, it's like they can't play defense. And they just need some more help. They don't have enough. And now it's like, maybe this team is big time, actually. You know, they've got their superstars. They've got two superstars right now. So hopefully they can keep this thing going, because it's been so much fun to watch. And Jamal Murray has been incredible. And I like Mike Malone there on the side. He's fighting hard for his team. He's never giving up. And I want to see the Nuggets extend this series. So give me the Nuggets in game five.
Okay. And Trey, what do you think?
One more win. That's what I think the Nuggets are going to get in this series. People are comparing them to the 2013 Warriors, who went in a six-game series against the Spurs, and it kind of put the Warriors on the map as a potential championship contender down the line, right? You saw Steph Curry and Klay Thompson having great playoff series, and that's what you're seeing from Jokic and Murray. They probably aren't going to be winning the championship this year. It would take an incredible a comeback for the third time. You know, we've seen a lot of jokes about the Nuggets have them right where they want them. The Lakers literally have them right where they want them. LeBron has never lost a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. So the Nuggets are in trouble, but they cannot be beaten easily, and they're not going to give up. So I would imagine a Game 5 win for Denver, okay. And LA takes it in 6, but who knows? Maybe they get hot. Maybe we see a 50-point game from Jamal Murray. They haven't really had an answer for him, and LeBron's not going to be able to guard him for the entirety of the game. This is a series where the Lakers are actually missing Avery Bradley a little, so I would love to see Murray catch fire again.
Yeah, my counter to that is I think we're finally at one of these points, be it game, you know, 5, game 6, game 7, if there is one. LeBron James has been garbage at shooting the basketball. And it's got overlooked a little bit because they keep, you know, winning. They're up 3-1, of course, and he's doing other things because he's LeBron, but he can't hit a jump shot or 3 really to save his life right now. One of these games he's going to, because it happens with him, where he suddenly, you know, catches fire and it feels a little more comfortable. He's a little more balanced, got a little more juice in the legs, whatever it is, and it starts going down. And if that starts to happen, then the Nuggets are really in trouble, because right now, any possession that ends in a LeBron jumper is like, whoa, that's a win. Hey, all right. Well, maybe not. You got to get the rebound, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you'll take that any day of the week. LeBron obviously taking one of his little patented sort of fading type jumpers because he can't hit a shot right now. The numbers are crazy. I know Ziller was writing about it in his newsletter this morning. It's bad. And last night I think was another like 1-for-9 sort of 15 plus feet and out. But LeBron, one of these games, again, 5 or 6, let's say, he will start knocking those down. You can just see it coming, and that's going to be trouble for the Nuggets. But I hope you guys are right. I hope it keeps going a little bit longer, because the Nuggets are a fun team to root for. Obviously love watching Jamal Murray play, and I hope Jokic, and when he's been in elimination games before, that is a guy that's sort of taken his game to the next level. Like, his numbers are unreal in elimination games. And he's just got to be special. I don't care who's out there starting, if it's Dwight or JaVale or they go to Anthony Davis at the 5 on him. He has to have a monster game. You got to see him a little bit more going to work inside, Tass, I think, too. Like, throwing around that weight a little bit more and putting pressure on the officials to get some whistles on some of those Lakers guys, because he can do that. But yeah, this one, he sort of was, because of like we talked about, in and out of it, he was just sort of floating around out there a little bit. So you hope to see him sort of locked in from the jump, I think, in this elimination game.
Yeah, he's got to use his juice. He's got to use his skill. He's got to have Lee saying after game 5, he was throwing that big body around.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. That is his number one attribute, that he can do that and then show off how skilled he is in there. Yeah, it just wasn't happening in this one. It was disappointing from all those people out there that tune in to see Nikola Jokic work from the three-point line and in. He could have got Chris Webber and Reggie Miller salivating on the call, but it just didn't happen. It wasn't right. It wasn't a proper game from the Joker.
All right, well, we got to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, but then we got a little Is This News. Guys, whatever line of work you're in, writing is part of getting the job done. Heck, I host a podcast, and it feels like all I do sometimes is send emails. Grammarly helps make sure that all of those emails and your reports and your presentations are polished and professional. And the best part, in my opinion, is it works everywhere you do. I love the Google Chrome extension. That's where I'm doing most of my work, and Grammarly's right there. Also, when you get the premium account, Grammarly sends you a little weekly writing update. Guys, apparently your boy Skeetsy's been a little busy bee. Grammarly told me the other day that my statistics showed that I was more productive than 95% of Grammarly users last week.
Ooh,
that's an A+.
I was only 81%.
That's an A+, yeah, for Skeetsy here. It checked over 18,000 of my words, and Grammarly told me to, quote, keep up the epic writing. Now, I like that. Thank you, Grammarly. We can all use a little boost of confidence, right? I love that. Grammarly doesn't just correct your mistakes either. It helps you build up your skills as a writer. Real-time feedback. That's something that I crave and I need. And Grammarly is right there to help me out and encourage me. And hey, maybe switch that up. Is that what you mean? Ooh, a little typo there. I just love this service. I just seriously love this one. So some of the other ones that we talk about, I couldn't care for. This one I love. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium when you sign up at grammarly.com/nodunks. Okay, that's 20% off Grammarly Premium at grammarly.com/nodunks. You're going to want that premium too to get those little boost of confidence there when they say, hey, man, you're better than Lee Ellis at this Grammarly writing thing, all right? That's Grammarly, GRAMMARLY.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, time for a little Is This News? Oh, Is This News? This is where I just throw the headline at you guys and ask you, is this actually news? First one, ESPN. Heat coach Eric Spoelstra says Bam Adebayo good to go for Game 5 tonight against the Celtics. Trey, is this news?
Sort of. It's not really news. It seemed like Bam was probably going to play after Game 4, but now we just know for sure. Eric Spoelstra said he's just got a lot of ice on his body. That's where we're at right now. Everybody's earning their ice. So I guess he earned his ice, and things are going to be all good. This is good news for the Heat that he's already ready, which means if they advance to the NBA Finals, they're not worrying about rehabbing him and getting him ready to play. They're just working on playing whoever they got to face in the Finals. And for me, it doesn't change a whole lot for the Celtics because Bam has been running wild out there. It doesn't seem like they have an answer for him regardless. The Celtics just need to play better and worry about their own selves rather than trying to take Bam out of the game because they've just been brutal in fourth quarters. The turnovers have been insane and, you know, they just need to be a little bit more committed to effort and to execution and attention to detail. And that has more to do with Boston's side of things than having to worry about Bam. It'd be a lot easier for Boston to pull off this comeback if Bam was out for the rest of the series, no doubt about it. But they got to take care of themselves first.
Yeah, Bam's conference finals, I think, are being overlooked a little bit here because of Dragic being great, Tyler Hero doing heroic things, Jimmy Butler, you know, in his big face coffee. Bam is averaging 40 minutes per game in these conference finals, 21.5 points per game, 11 boards, 4.5 assists, 2 steals, and 1.3 blocks per game, shooting over 60% from the floor and getting to the line nearly 8 times per game lately. That's damn good. Now, I know this guy was already an all-star. Mm-hmm. But again, am I crazy? It's like, we haven't talked a ton about him because, again, a lot of the attention has gone to some of these other guys, especially the guards.
No, he has been incredible. And you mentioned the assist there. Like, he's a smart passer. He understands he can get there and he can fire it out to those guys. And he knows he's got good three-point shooters around him so he can find those guys. And that's what I think makes it a little bit tough as well for the Celtics, because he's not just a guy who you have to stick in the post and that's the only move. He moves himself around on the offense and he can facilitate. And that injury looked awful. It almost looked like he dislocated his shoulder or something, the way he was like letting it hang in Game 4 there. But fortunately, it's all good. And it is his offhand, which does make a difference, I think. So, you know, if he's going to be rebounding and shooting, that hand should still be okay, even if he is a little bit bothered still and a little bit sore going into tonight's game. But yeah, he's been great. And I remember last year on the Heat, how big they were on him when they still had Whiteside. And then they pretty quickly were like, Whiteside is a polarizing player at the best of times anyway. But his growth to this level and his development has probably been ahead of schedule. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is good news too, Taz. He didn't undergo additional testing, right, on whatever is hurting him. Because they even asked him, like, what's wrong? And I think they just said, like, it's his whole arm.
He's got a
weird shoulder,
arm.
His elbow, his wrist. Like, they didn't give, like, a specific body part. So I guess that's good, right? I don't know.
I think it's some gamesmanship. I think maybe they're being smart. They know they don't want a Marcus Morris going after Luka Doncic's ankle situation. Mm. Where are you going to karate chop Bam Adebayo right now? Is it the wrist, the elbow, the shoulder? You don't know.
Right.
It's multiple spots, because Eric Spoelstra was asked. He's like, it's all over the place. Don't try and nail down one spot. I'm not a dummy. Real GM said he injured his wrist in Game 3 and aggravated in Game 4. So I don't know if they're being real GM about it or if it's a fake GM, if it's a wrist. Where's a wrist injury? I don't even know. I mean, strained his wrist. It looked more like a, like Lee said, a shoulder, but I felt like an elbow to me, like a hyperextension. But who the heck knows? Body language doctor. It's his left arm. And he is an incredible player. He's a guy who's going to get a max or a near max for doing all the things that coaches absolutely love. And it's hard not to look forward to the NBA Finals potentially, where he'll be guarding Anthony Davis and be a deterrent to LeBron James going to the rim. He's that good, and he's that important on the offensive end too. He can literally, you know, he can't shoot the three, but he can do everything else on a basketball floor, you know, within the paint. And then on the defensive end, he's awesome, and he doesn't get talked about.
Next headline here. It's a quickie. NBC Sports. Buddy Hield fuels 76ers trade rumor. Is this news, Tess?
This is the best and absolute worst part of Instagram. The worst part of Instagram is the Discover page. And there's random accounts.
Yeah.
Random accounts put up an image of a player. If you happen to go there, I'm an NBA fan. So on my Discover page, I go to the page, I see big photos. Paul George's face, a huge, huge caption on his face, an overlay, if you will. And it'll, in this case, Embiid Feed, a random username, has the huge caption, "The Sixers have reportedly expressed trade interest in Buddy Hield." And so it comes from somewhere else. It comes from Legion Hoops, and they tag Buddy, and he likes the post, and someone else comments, "Trust the process." And he replies and says, "Big facts. I think Buddy Hield is just enjoying someone talking about him, like a lot of us, like a lot of us who want that dopamine from Instagram. Talk about me, talk about me." So I do think the Sixers would make a move like this. It would
could use some shooting.
Yeah, and it would make sense that they desperately could use Buddy Hield's ability to spread the floor. And also, I think they would bring in a guy that won't work seamlessly either. You know, there's some question marks as to whether or not he would fit, right? Like, he's had some issues in Sacramento. He's coming off the bench. They've thrown him there, even though they paid him a bajillion dollars, and we all thought, look at that skill set. But he hasn't been necessarily all that happy there because they've thrown him to the bench, and they haven't been happy with him just because he's doesn't play defense all that hard. So I could see a match there. And again, the original source, Legion Hoops, he's doubling down. I think his name is Legion Hoops Ross specifically. He said, I predicted KD was going to the Nets. Check my history. And so he says he's got his sauces. And I wouldn't see it as a crazy stretch that this could happen. But I don't know who the heck they would trade for him. That's the problem.
Tobias Harris, taking Kings.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. It, right? You got the contract of Tobias Harris, what, $34 million? Al Horford, $27.5 million. Buddy Hield is about a $25 million guy, you know, with his extension kicking in here. So I guess you, in theory, could make something happen.
Yeah,
Buddy Hield wants something. Even Skeets isn't watching the Kings if it's Harrison Barnes and Tobias Harris the ball from the bag of beans in Star Fox. Buddy would be awesome on the Sixers. He's a perfect fit for them. But he wants to be gone from the Kings. That's the main thing I take from this, is he is ready to be out of there. He was complaining before he got his extension. Then, like Tass was saying, he was complaining after. Then they sent him to the bench. He wasn't happy about that, but he still was pretty successful coming off the bench. He still wants to be a starter. He wants to be a star somewhere. And it feels like he's number three at most on the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, maybe it changes a little bit that Vlade Divac isn't there anymore, so he can finally usurp Bogdanovich. But Buddy's not long for Sacramento, I don't think.
I agree with that, especially because new Kings general manager, Monte, don't call me Steve McNair, he just said that Luke Walton and him are on the same page during his little press conference that he had on Wednesday, and that Luke Walton's going to be their coach next year, and that he's excited to work with them and blah, 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 and our aligned visions and all that crap that they always say. But that probably doesn't bode well, you're right, for Buddy Hield wanting to still be there after, like, hey, man, you're going to the bench and all this, and Bogdanovich is going to start, and he's a restricted free agent as well, right? Mm-hmm. So Monte McNair has got some decisions to be made here, but I'm 100% with you on this, Trey. I don't think he's going to be there either. I think a trade will be made. I think there will be a lot of interest in a guy still like Buddy Hield at his age and his ability to knock down a three. If Mike D'Antoni's coaching the Sixers too, if that happens, hell yeah, you want Buddy Hield on that roster then over some of these guys. But it comes down to, what would the Kings want back or take back, I guess, in giving up Buddy Hield? But what do you think, Lee?
No, I think Buddy Hield would absolutely love to get out of Sacramento and go and play for Mike D'Antoni in Philadelphia. There's no question about it. He suits exactly what D'Antoni likes. Just get out there and shoot threes. And Buddy was a good three-point shooter last year. He shot 39%, taking nearly 10 a game. So he can do it. There's no doubt about it. But it's, again, like, there's no way in the world. I will veto the trade if they take Tobias Harris back, the Sacramento Kings. I will David Stern do Chris Paul one. Just say that is not happening, because don't do that to your fans. Yeah, Sacramento. Honestly.
Think they're going to revolt if they trade Buddy Hield for Tobias Harris?
They should. I mean, that
hold on, Lee. What if, and I'm not saying the Sixers would do anything like this, but what if there's, okay, yeah, we're giving you Harris because, like, money reasons, right, to get Hield for the most part, but, like, we'll give you like a Matisse Thybulle or something like that. You know, they have to sweeten it. They have to give a young prospect, someone that looks talented. No,
I don't have Thybulle's contract handy here, but I have Tobias Harris's. So don't do it, Sacramento. You're gonna have to sweeten it with a little bit more than that.
Okay. Just asking.
It's interesting though, because Monte McNair is a true analytics guy. There's not many that have been hired in the NBA. True. The last one as a GM was Sam Hinkie. So, Buddy Hield make a lot of sense shooting the ball there. That's exactly what every team wants. 10 threes a game. If you're an analytic person, you love that.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been working on the defensive end, and he's an emotional man. And so it hasn't been working.
And then there's Bogdanovich as well. I mean, it's a bit of the problem here, right? They've got two of these guys that are scorers, great shooters. But can you pay both of them? Probably not. I don't think that's all that wise. So see what you can get for one of them. And if Buddy Hield wants to leave, then you're going to try and move him, likely. We will see. Final one. This one's funny. Star Tribune. Juancho Hernan Gomez away from the Wolves as he shoots Adam Sandler movie. Trey, is this news? Where's Juancho? Where is Juancho?
I mean, this is the news. Skeets, where's Juancho? He's with Adam Sandler. What? Doesn't make sense. Also news, we're going to be getting some more Adam Sandler basketball highlights, you would assume, at some point. He'll be out there rocking the TJ Ford gigantic shorts, throwing no-look passes. And apparently they'll be going to Juancho Hernan Gomez. How in the world is he the guy chosen for this? It's apparently a story about, it's called Hustle. It's executive produced by LeBron James.
Yep.
So I went deep into the archives, and I did find that Juancho had a 12-point game against the Lakers when he was still playing for the Nuggets last season. So maybe LeBron saw it. He's like, this is the guy. This is the guy we need when we finally make this Sandler movie. I don't know how it's happening, but I'm always curious to see an NBA player as an actor, even if they're playing a basketball player, if they're not. Right. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a YouTube clip. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I guess Hustle here, it revolves around a basketball scout who searches for talent overseas. Hernan Gomez, you know, from Spain, so maybe that makes a little bit more sense, I guess, with the storyline here. But he's not going to be present for the team's voluntary workout here, Tass, you know, the group workouts that they're doing. But they say, hey, look, I mean, we didn't know this bubble was going to be going. He committed to this project, you know, well before we knew he'd be doing workouts at this time of the year. So they can't be too angry about it, I guess.
No, that's not news. I'm going to go with that's not news. They're cool with that. It's good. It's good for the team to have one of their bench players in a movie. Hey, why not?
I just love that we had a... I don't know. I can't even call it a recurring bit, but we did have a thing, where's Juancho, going, and we are literally finding out where he is. That's exactly what he's doing. As Trey said, he's shooting a movie with Adam Sandler. Are you excited about the movie?
Well, I am, because what was that one we saw during the summer of the Adam Sandler one?
Uncut Gems.
Yeah, like it was a roller coaster of a movie. But I want to see now the follow up to it. See if he reinvents that character or has the same. Because I think it will be. Because you know, when you're a diamond dealer, and you're an NBA agent, you know, it's not completely off that on different tracks out there. So you got to be a bit of a fast walker.
It's called hustle, I guess. Yeah.
Sure. So you have to be a little bit like that, and I think Adam Sandler will fit that role pretty well. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to us reviewing it next year.
Remembering the ending of Uncut Gems, I think it would be quite a different movie if they somehow get Adam Sandler's character back for this one.
I forgot about that.
But it would be exciting. Where's Juancho? He's doing a seance. He brought Adam Sandler back.
Maybe Adam Sandler is found in the Opal. Juancho's looking into the opal and finds him there, brings him back. He gets into his opal and drives over to this practice facility. I don't know.
I think it's more just likely they're not related, these movies and characters. But hey, who knows? We will find
out. I heard
out.
He's actually going to be playing Billy Madison, who finally got his degree and has moved to become a Scout 100.
A basketball scout. All right. So there's a little is this news. You agree or disagree with those three? Newsworthy or not? Especially on that last one. Tess says no way. I say hell yeah. But let's hear from you guys. All right, I got to take one more quick break before Tweet of the Night.
Hey, I'm Tass Mellis of No Dunks on The Athletic. Do you want to walk into a room with your chest puffed out, your neck long, and your shoulders broad? Of course you do. For me, getting clothes that fit properly can give me the confidence I need to do just that. Indochino hooked me up with the gear that fits perfectly. I dreaded getting dressed for my Zoom meetings, but now I change for each one with a big smile on my face. I did a virtual fitting on Indochino's slick website for them to get my measurements. I didn't have to talk to a single human. There are so many options. Here are a few I chose. A long shirt, because I tuck it in. I got a No Dunks monogram, and I decided against a shirt pocket. I sincerely did not think that custom fit clothing was this affordable, and all customizations are included in the cost. The website keeps your measurements on file so you never have to re-enter them. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $2.99 with all customizations included. Indochino is a no-brainer if you're getting married. Visit one of the Indochino showrooms across North America or book a virtual appointment like I did and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $3.99 or more when you enter code TASS, not ASS, TASS, T-A-S, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code TASS.
Okay, it's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
It's actually Tweets of the Night. We got two of them here. Why not? First one, I had to slip this into the show, from at Josh Scheinman. Vince Carter keeps calling Jamal Murray Kitchener's finest on ESPN, and I love it because nobody watching has a clue what he's talking about. Shout out to Vince Carter for running with the Kitchener's finest. You can't tell me that he didn't get it from us, or at least from our tweets. So I'm always tweeting out Kitchener's finest with Jamal Murray. Gotta love it, Mr. Vince Carter. Fantastic. Happy 20th anniversary, too, to Vince Carter's dunk of death. I mean, this just works out perfectly when he jumped over Frederick Weiss there in the Olympics. I love this, too, Tass. I had to slip it in. I think you'll get a kick out of this, being from Ontario. Sean Fitzgerald, hockey writer for The Athletic. He said, or he saw, like, he replied to somebody in the tweet section. For the longest time, our eldest thought that the OHL franchise in town was named the Kitchen Arrangers. I think about that often. Well, even Lee gets that one.
That's nice. Hold on, I don't get it.
Kitchen Arrangers.
It was Kitchener Rangers.
Yeah,
it was, I know it's tough to sort of say, but you got to see it. Kitchen Arrangers.
Yeah.
A little weird. No one knows that there's a place called Kitchener, I guess, is the thing.
It is a weird name for a town, I'll say that, but
I hadn't really put
a lot of weird town
it.
Names out there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if not Moose Jaw. Moose Jaw's way weirder than Kitchener.
True.
Tutgaruk. We've got a Tutgaruk in Australia.
What about those red deer? Why is Kamloops? Kamloops is a good one. Burnaby. Why doesn't Maple Jordan take off? Why doesn't that nickname take off? Oh. It was sort of handed
to... Because it's Andrew Wiggins' fault.
To Andrew Wiggins.
Why.
Jamal Murray just pulled a Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Give it to him. Yeah. Give it to him. Give him that syrup. We've been tapping that nickname for years. It had no syrup has come out of that.
That syrup.
Give him that syrup. That guy is sweet like syrup.
I saw you and Trey going back and forth, too, on Twitter. Nice pointing out MJ, flip it, JM, Jamal Murray, and then MJ, Maple Jordan.
Hey,
I mean,
wordplay.
It is perfect. It is perfect. All right, one more tweet from last night that I liked. Dan Wyke from at Dan Wyke Sports. The Lakers bench counted down 3-2-1, and Gary Harris launched a tough three-point jumper to beat the clock, Except there was 10 seconds left on it. After the miss, Jared Dudley, Alex Caruso, and Rondo all high-fived. Wow. I mean, we've talked before about how this bubble experiment is like a, you know, like a tournament, like a high school basketball tournament. We used to do that all the time, Trey, where you did the fake countdown, which was weird because I don't even remember us having a shot clock. So that's even weirder now that I really think about it. But we did this for sure.
Oh, definitely. I can't believe it worked. And I can't believe that Dwight Howard wasn't somehow involved with this. He seems like the guy that would come up with it. Hey, count him down, man. The Joker, he'll never think about it. We gotcha. The Batman, we gotcha. But yeah, it's awesome. I wonder if it's happened any other times. Right. You know, anytime we see somebody take a really bad shot, is it just because the opposing bench is counting it down? It's been great. You know, watching the benches from other supporting their teams has been as good as you would have thought it was going to be coming into the bubble, seeing these guys pulling pranks like this and just celebrating. You know, Myers Leonard has been out for every single Heat possession, flexing his arms, basically. When the only fans who are there are your teammates, you got to do something. And the teams haven't disappointed. It's been pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I will say we've talked a lot about the officiating in the bubble in some of these games. And yeah, what are they doing with some of these calls and all that? But I like that they've allowed the players, like you said, Leonard, he's notorious for like being out there. They're letting them like be outside that sort of barrier a lot of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I think they could enforce and say, hey, sit in your cool chair back there. But they're not. They're letting them get into it because there's no fans anyway. So it tries to give a little bit of excitement to the game. I like that. Good on the officials for allowing that. Hey, let's go to Steve Javy, see if he likes that call as well. Yes, he does. But okay, anything to add there, Lee or Tass, to this fake countdown? Did you used to do that, Lee, in men's league? Was there any
We've definitely done it before. Yeah, yeah, it's fun. And then you do the high fives because it worked. Yeah, we got him. It's great, that sort of stuff.
Now that I think about it, because we didn't have a shot clock for sure in high school, but we would do it at the end of quarters or end of games. That makes a little bit more sense now that I think it through. Like a close game and you just start counting it down 5 seconds prior to hope they'd jack something up there. Yeah.
It's great. Right.
Great stuff. East Finals, Game 5, tonight. Friday night here. Through four games, you pointed it out yesterday, I think, Lee. The cumulative score between the Heat and the Celtics in the East Finals, 441 to 441. I know Zach Lowe was tweeting that as well. And yet here we are, Heat up 3-1. One win away from their sixth finals berth since 2006. So we already discussed Bam playing tonight, so we can avoid that. But what's another thing to watch for here in tonight's Game 5 for the Heat Celtics?
Jason Tatum had a very bad first half in Game 4. Didn't score. Finished with 28 points. Had a pretty good game. But I expect he will come out and sort of try to put a bit of a stamp on this game a little bit earlier tonight, I think. Because he just kind of looked a little bit out of sorts there, but it didn't really matter. I mean, he picked it up and gave his team a chance to win. But I think it's one of those things where he's like, I'm not letting that happen again. I'm going out there to get a few buckets early, set the tone. I'm the leader. I'm the best player on this team. And it's my job to do that. So I expect him to be pretty aggressive from the start. And I expect the Celtics to try to get him involved early on. Because, you know, if Tatum has a big game and if he goes for 35 or 40, it's probably going to favor the Celtics. So, knowing that their season is on the line tonight, I expect the leader to step up and be like, I've got this one, guys.
I'm with you, Lee. Jason Tatum is 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists per game in this series. He's shooting 45% from the field and 92% from the line, but he's only 31% from three. And it kind of doesn't feel like he's really put his stamp on the game so far. He's had really good first three quarters of the game, and the performance hasn't been there in the fourth quarter because things really, really slow down for the Celtics, and it becomes kind of an ISO fest. Mm-hmm. And which is not usually the way that they're playing, it feels like. So hopefully Tatum is able to string together an entire 48 minutes and be the guy who was looking like one of the best players in the Eastern Conference. This has been a season of anointing him as a star, and he hasn't totally shown up in the fourth quarters, which is star time. So let's see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Gordon Hayward helping out the Boston Celtics a little bit more than he has in his two games since he's returned from injury. He's been decent in playing about 30 minutes a game. But it's time to get those five best players out there a little bit more. Daniel Theis and Robert Williams are playing the center spot. But Gordon Hayward, along with Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker are their best five. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously do or die here. And Gordon Hayward is here in the bubble. He stayed in the bubble despite Robin, his wife, having their fourth child at home. So this is big for Gordon Hayward. He got to stay here, and I just wanted to mention, the fact that he's missing that the child's birth hasn't made him miss trying to give this baby a nickname already. The kid just came out of the womb. His name is Gordon Theodore Hayward, and he's already arguing with Robin about what they should nickname the kid. He says they should nickname him GT. Come on. It's way too early to give him a nickname of GT, and she wants to call him Theo.
Yeah.
The kid just came out of the womb. Let him grow into a nickname, perhaps. And GT, I mean, that sounds like a Brad already. You know, you're throwing him this name already. Maybe he's not a GT. Maybe he moves a little slow.
Yeah, you're right, Tess. You got to take it slow with nicknames because, like we're seeing, Jamal Murray, we can't even call him Maple Jordan now because that's Andrew Wiggins. So take it slow. Let him
Maple
grow
Mamba.
Into it.
Also, you can't start giving the baby a nickname. You haven't even held the baby.
Yeah.
You got to hold the baby, feel the baby. Is it a GT or is it a Theo? It's going to be Theo, by the way. Mom rules, so that's going to be what it is. And that's fine. That's a cute little name there. It's like a JD situation, too, right? I mean, by the sounds of it, because he's Gordon. So he's a second, right? Or I don't know. Is Gordon's dad named also Gordon? I'm not sure. Maybe
he's not the second or junior,
fifth or something like
that. Oh, is he? Okay, so there it's exactly like JD's family then, where it's a Terrence situation here, but it's Jason instead, as we call him. Yeah, JD there. You want to chime in on this? Do I have that right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. My kid gives me literally every day a dirty look because I named him Terrence, and I go, "You're right." Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Start calling him GT. Just what happens.
Yeah, we started calling him, early on, Wee Linky. 6'1" now. Doesn't fit. Doesn't really fit. He's towering over. Hey, Wee Linky, get over here.
Oh, but that's like, that's what a giant dude they'll call tiny. You know?
Yeah.
It's sort of funny.
Okay, fair enough. He needs to get a little bit bigger to be in the tiny, the wee, to be ironic, but, he's pretty tall.
So if you just dropped it, you still call him Linky? You dropped the Wii?
Oh, we call him all sorts of things. But Linky is still fits when I'm in a good mood. Terrence Lincoln when I'm not.
Oh, don't. Yeah, you never wanted to hear the Terrence, I'm sure, JD, when you were a kid. Yeah, that's always a bad sign. All right, we're going to call it there. Enjoy the game tonight. It will be weird, I'll say, if the Heat win tonight. Because you were sort of saying it, Tass. Like, we'll look back at this, go, the Heat beat the Celtics 4-1. I mean, they took care of business. Like, they hammered them. It just, like, appears as a beatdown, right? Mm-hmm. But, as we just pointed out, like, even if the Celtics lose by one tonight, the Heat will have gone to the NBA Finals in 5 games despite scoring one more point over the entire series. That would be just strange. So, I expect the Celtics actually to pick up this victory tonight and we get a Game 6 just because they have been that close. But it is going to come down to the fourth very... likely once again, and they got to hit some threes because they're going to be there. Guys, email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Send them in. Email us nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in @NoDunksInc. Grab your No Dunks t-shirts at nodunks.com. Got a little back and forth going with our t-shirt shop. We should have a new shirt dropping very, very, very shortly. I'm hoping even this weekend, so keep your eye on that. And if you haven't already, subscribe to The Athletic. Tell them we sent you. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks and sign up for $1 a month right now. What an offer. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Congrats to the Hayward family for having their fourth child named Gordon Theodore Hayward, and congrats for not naming him Alvin Simon Theodore Hayward.
Brace the day, people.